Hey there, David Carr, who's seated to my immediate right. Do you ride a bike?
Yeah, I do.
A Bronco?
Can't say that I have.
How about a skateboard?
Yeah, skateboard.
All right, listen, if you answer yes to any of those, or if you like to do anything else that involves wearing clothing, Wrangler has the jeans for you. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, all price points, vintage re-releases. Like I said, Wrangler has something for everyone, and that does in fact include David Carr. Visit Wrangler.com. Check out their selection of jeans, shirts, pants, outerwear for men and for women. Wrangler, denim, made for the modern world. Let's start the show.
I'm from Houston. I actually wore David Carr jersey to school.
No way. Did you tell him that?
Yeah. That's why I wish I could hang out with him. Like, he was like a legend in Houston for good reasons and bad reasons now. But I was a fan. He's like the Houston expansion team.
Here I am. See, I'm a cynic because when he told that story, David Carr, I said, wake up, man. Martellus Bennett was just trying to dupe you into throwing him passes, but in fact, it came from a sincere place.
He did throw him. It was a Carolina Panthers game, I think he's talking about. He threw me the ball like five times, probably because I was a check down, but.
But Eli didn't throw you the ball nearly as much as David Carr did.
No, I was just trying. I was always taught to give the quarterback a little sugar so that you could get the ball a little bit more. Like, oh, you're doing great. Like, yeah.
See, I was right then. You were. He's a sucker, but not Damashek.
David. The Dave Damashek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
And as you just heard there, seated to my immediate left, ready to respond to a range of assertions and comments and nice things and maybe not nice things about David
What's
Carr.
What's new in the zoo?
David Carr is here, and coming up in just a little bit, we're going to hear from Eddie Spaghetti and Martin Weiss, two of our young favorites, along with Wall of Famer Jeff Schwartz chopping it up about food in just a little bit. A food block coming your way in just a little bit. In the meantime, let's talk about pro football as season's kickoff is drawing ever closer.
So exciting.
By the way, welcome to the Dave Damashek Football
Program. I like your intro. I don't know if I've told you that before, but your introduction, the David football thing, is really kind of cool, man.
Well, you can use that anytime you want.
I appreciate that. I was going to ask you if I could put it on my phone.
Yeah, use it on your phone. Yeah, make it your call thing.
Call me.
Or you could, if you ever make it to the big leagues and you need a walk-up song, although it's David football, that might not work. But anyhow.
I mean, that's where I started, so that'd be fine.
Is that true? You're a better ball player. You know what?
Everyone plays baseball first.
We got to do the competition, the once and for all, settle who has the better arm, personifying football throwers, David Carr, baseball throwers, former minor leaguer Cole Wright, and then we'll get Handsome Hank. He'll represent the cricket ball throw.
We're going to throw more than just a football.
You're going to throw all three, and we'll see
who
best fit, you know, who can play the other sports.
I'm in.
Anyhow, how are you? How's everything going for you in Bakersfield?
Fantastic. Hot. It's hot in Bakersfield, but it's hot in L.A.
It's hot everywhere.
Yeah, it's
hot everywhere. How's it going up in the East Bay of California?
East Bay was a lot nicer. I texted Derek right when I showed up last week, and I said, man, this is nice. I mean, you guys get surrounded by trees, and it's beautiful. And, I mean, they're spoiled up there, but.
I loved when I went up there. I guess I was naive because I went up there and I said, how could you do any better for a practice space than what the Raiders have going? It's literally right on the edge of the continent. It's on the water.
It's right. Yeah. Then you're right there. Where you're staying is close. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Except that then people pointed out to me, it's right next to a commercial airfield and the oil drips down from the sky insinuates itself from the sky down into the field. So it's not the greatest place.
You're there for this fraction of time.
It makes you rugged.
Exactly. Enjoys football.
Yeah.
Suck
that's exactly. That's exactly. All these teams playing in domes. Do you resent do you feel like an old curmudgeon watching these guys practice now? Oh. They're all in domes.
They're in domes, and then they don't practice.
And they don't even go – they don't even have to leave and stay in some bum dorm room. They stay – a lot of these teams are even in their hometowns.
Exactly. They stay at their house sometimes.
That's not right.
And then they drive to the thing, and then they have one practice, and then they go home and eat dinner with their fan. I mean, it's not training camp. Like, they used to see these quarterbacks playing for 15, 20 years. It's no doubt.
Do you know that training camp, though, used to be twice as long as it is now. Oh, so you didn't have to go through that, at least.
No, well, it used to be twice as long. You were literally gone. You were just – you had to go to another city, another area, and you had to bond with your teammates, and there was this – and now that's completely – it's a completely different world now.
Before we talk some Raiders and some AFC East stuff I want to get into, another former team of yours, the Giants, I want to kibitz about them. Bring us up to speed. Well, I talk about, you know, getting along with your teammates and everything. You just heard your former Giants team. Teammate,
yes,
Marty Bennett kibitzing about you. How'd all that strike you? Did you know previously that he used to wear your jersey?
He told me that. Yeah, he told me that in Houston that he used to wear my jersey. And I thought for a little while, though, because all receivers are kind of like what he mentioned, a little bit of sugar to try and get the football. Like, I was like, hey, Marty's always been a guy that's kind of just been outgoing, outspoken. What is he really trying to do? But then he brought pictures. Like, he showed me, like, he was legit. I was a fan, so I was like, okay, that's cool. And then we hung out, and he's great. I love Marty.
But also a low-level shot at you, passive-aggressive shot at you.
He did take one, but that's okay. Friends can take passive-aggressive.
But no, but the shot is, of course, if he's announcing to you, hey, I used to wear your jersey when I was a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Age-wise? Yeah, but that's at that point in my career, I mean, it was my 11th year maybe, 10th, 11th year. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're 30 years old, but you're ancient in the NFL locker room. So you get guys that come in and they just look at you like this guy. And you're like, in reality, I'm not that old. And like in walking around, normal everyday person, I'm a decent normal American, you know?
I mean, I could debate you on that a little bit, but instead, let's talk about a guy who is an outsized human being in terms of physical abilities, at least. Martavis Bryant, you know, I mean, obviously a fascinating specimen at minimum. If you've watched him at the height of what he's capable of in the NFL, I mean, he's as dynamic as it gets. You think, who's better? I mean, legitimately, it is not hyperbolic, in my opinion, that when you saw him flashing here and there, when he first broke out with the Steelers, you thought, is this guy like just a step down from like a Randy Moss level talent?
Right.
There's very little he can't do.
And what step down is he? Like, what does he not do? And that was really the interesting part for me is like, I'm always curious why teams let players go. Like, why would you just allow a player like this to leave the building? And there always has to be something. There has to be. Like, there's not good, teams just don't do that, especially teams like the Steelers that have consistently been good. You just don't let good players walk out the building. So what is it? So I go up to Napa, and I'm watching them, and I can't figure it out. And I hear things about John really trying to push him and make sure that he's after him as far as his alignment, what he's supposed to be doing. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's had issues in the past of lining up correctly, doing the right things, being in the right spots. Because when you look at him physically, there is nothing that the guy can't do. I mean, he catches a ball 15-yard in route from Derek, splits the safeties. They don't even touch him. It's tackle football. Remember, they have to actually tackle the guy, but no one even touches the guy. And he caught the ball 15 yards, split him, went 6.
I mean, think about that. He's 6. What is he? 6'4", 6'5"-ish?
He's huge.
And, I mean, think about how the Steelers deployed him.
And his
they
arms,
had him
like, he's just
they had him kickoff returning. How many guys do you see back there that are 6'4", 6'5", doing that?
Yeah, it's really crazy. So that's and in talking to Derek, that is really the what we thought when
Derek
we saw
who?
Him. My brother plays for the Oakland.
Oh, Derek Carr.
He doesn't get a lot of love. I mean, they talk about Gruden and Marshawn and Jordy and
David's younger brother.
And all these people. But Derek, I mean, he's there still. But so when I talk to him, that is what Martavis is. He's gotta be better at. And if he can do that, then physically, like where's the limit? There really isn't one.
What advice would you have? Are you somebody who, I mean, listen, that John Gruden, literally, if you haven't heard David Carr on the DDFP previously, you may be surprised to learn. I find it borderline, you know, I don't, untowards, I don't know what.
Are
what
you
do you have?
Illegal?
You, not illegal.
Okay.
I didn't say anything about felonies.
I'm
or
just checking.
I just don't know what to. I don't know what to make of David Carr. You're a family member, and John Gruden gave you a badge so you can have your run of the Raiders facility.
Yeah, I mean he gave me total access.
Maybe Khalil Mack. Maybe if the Raiders would say, hey, what family member do you want to have a card? Maybe that could help bridge the gap.
Possibly.
Right now,
I hope that's been asked. It doesn't sound like that they've talked in a while.
I know. You know.
So that's what I'm concerned about.
What happens when that's going on? Does anybody care? Is it like, listen,
well,
how much can I worry about somebody who's not here?
For players, you don't want to ever get in the way of a player trying to get paid.
That's all. That's what players always say. Nobody is.
And so no one will touch it. No one will. Fine. Go ahead. I don't care if we ruin my season and we aren't as good as we should be, but as long as you get taken care of, and it's almost like you have to play it because I mean, the guys you're referring to, Derek and him are really close. They came in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
They're good buddies. They spend time. Khalil's over at his house. They hang out. And they don't really ever talk about it. He just kind of lets it happen. Khalil, you know, really the player's not in charge of it. I mean, if he wants to, he could say, yeah, I want to go back to camp, get it done. He could say that to his agent. No player, I don't know that has ever said that. I think they just let the process play out until it gets to a really tough point. But right now, I mean, they're just – he's a defensive end. He doesn't have to show up till week one. So hopefully –
ain't that right? And all this really stuff, is. I call and, you know, listen, NFL media, obviously there are a lot of games. You should watch them. You should consume each and every preseason football game available for your eyeballs up until the real thing kicks off.
Absolutely.
But as I always say, though, I have to watch it as a skeptic, as a cynic. It's a month-long lie for your eyes.
It's not real football.
It's because – I would never, if I were a head coach, do you tell that to Gruden? That would be my message to Gruden. Don't put anybody who is of great value out on the field in August.
I have the same beliefs.
Do you?
Yeah, but I mean, there is the more players I talk to, and quarterback-wise, I mean, you have to get some – you want to get some –
You can practice. I'm talking about
but
games.
There's a different feel between me being at practice, knowing that the coach has the whistle, and knowing that Khalil can't hit me. And then me being in the game and having to get my body to react to knowing these guys physically can snatch me and pull me to the ground. So there's some of that from a quarterback. So I imagine that there would be some of that for every position because you can only replicate live reps. When coaches say live in practice, it doesn't really mean live.
I get it.
But there has to be a little bit of it. Not as much.
My perennial pushback on the existence of preseason football games for the NFL. Yes, you need to evaluate the guys who are on the borderline. And it's very exciting for them. And, you know, now Hard Knocks is back. And that's the human drama. It's not – I mean, you want to see fun and funny personalities as well when you're watching that show in training. But it's the human drama of the guys right on the border. Is he or isn't he going to – be able to hang in there. For you guys, I would never want to go out onto the field. But my pushback is, if you needed it, if it was so essential for the actual first stringers, the actual guys who you're counting on to produce in September and beyond, then why does college football not have one?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I completely agree.
If it was that important, then why don't the 19-year-olds need to have it?
No, and I mean, so if I really thought about it and I said, okay, if I went out there game one and that was live, legit, let's go, would I don't think there'd be a big difference. I really don't. More than I think about it. I mean, there's a transition. There's definitely a transition from practice all year to that first game. So if you can somehow get that out of the way, or if we all have to go through it together, then so be it. We all go through it together in the first game, and maybe it's not as good, but maybe it is. You got a good point, man. I'm with you. I don't think.
And also,
all that happens is guys get hurt. We do a fantasy draft. Like my other brother Darren, who coaches Bakersfield Christian, Derek's old high school. He makes us do.
I thought you were
going to
say David.
Draft.
David's not in the league, is he?
I am in the league. He forcibly put me in the league.
Wow.
And I said, I'm not drafting until the games start.
Of course
real games
not.
Start.
People are asking
he
me.
Did it a week ago.
I'm the Steelers whisperer, as you may or may not know. Six straight seasons, I've correctly predicted what the Steelers' final record's going to be.
Really?
People are hitting me up. Hey, so what's it going to be now, Sear?
I'm curious.
And I'm like, well, Sear. I'm not going to make any announcement until all the games are in the book.
I'm with you.
I'll wait until the eve of kickoff.
Is that right?
How would I know?
What happens? Like this year, conveniently, I had the first pick. I don't know how that happened. And I'm like, well, how do I take a player that's not like – so Le'Veon Bell was obvious an option. He's not even in camp. How do I even know how he's going to react when he comes out there? I mean, is he going to be good? I'm sure he will be, but I couldn't take him.
Listen, yeah, he'll be fine, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not overly concerned about that. Hey, why don't you call Derek up? Do you call him up randomly? Do you just call him on the telephone?
It's 1240. I'm not sure if it's going to actually.
Call him up.
I will call him.
Ask him. I want to know, you mentioned fantasy.
You might get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble.
Calls?
He would take the call. Say he's in the meeting with John, like right now, and he answers the phone. I mean, there's going to be some kind of some blowback there.
All right, then we'll make it a conference call, and Gruden can chime in, too.
I'm sure
these are the answers I need.
Okay.
Doug Martin or Marshawn Lynch, who's going to get more carries this year?
So I've been told that Marshawn has – all the opportunity to be the guy. If he does not want to buy in, be a team guy, buy into what Gruden's doing, practice. Then
what does that mean?
It means you've seen Marshawn just sit on the sidelines.
I know.
Practice. That's what that means. And
but that's a real concern? That's something
absolutely.
That they're talking about?
I clearly have no
did they call 24 in and say, like, hey, man, just so you know, I want to be up front with you. We're concerned about whether or not you're going to buy in or not. Do they have that kind of heart-to-heart with
100%.
Them? 100%.
Yeah, it happened. It happened. And that's why Doug's there. That's why Doug Martin is there. So it's all on Marshawn.
Really? As a human threat?
John told me when Marshawn was standing right next to me at practice, Marshawn is the man. If he doesn't want to be, we'll play Doug.
Wow.
Marshawn was standing right there. John does not care.
What's your guess?
I think Marshawn's going to be fine. He had a good year last year. I mean, the offense was not very good, but he ran hard. I think he's still got enough in the tank. And that offensive line's, they're better than average. So, I mean, they're a lot better than average. So, I think if he just gets going, he'll be fine. And they want to run the football.
You know, we just are on the heels of the Hall of Fame stuff for another year, and so this is the time when people like to ruminate about who's next, and we play all or nothing. We play Hall or nothing here.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's play it right now. Marshawn Lynch.
Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Ooh. One Super Bowl.
Does he need to do more to secure a spot in the Hall? Because if you watch him, I
that's a really tough question.
I submit that, yes, the numbers matter, especially once the voters have cooled their heels and don't have as visceral a reaction to the name.
Yeah,
you know, like
right.
This guy, oh, yeah, that guy was a football player. Yeah. But I do think it matters that when you start to review, I don't know what the process is. I don't know that that the voters are sitting around, huddled around a flat screen TV watching highlights of a guy, but it does have.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a presentation.
It should matter.
I know there's a presentation of some sort, right?
Is that how it goes?
I'm pretty sure someone comes up as a spokesman to put. I've talked to
some
guys that do that and that have actually gone through that process of nominating a guy. Like, this is him. Check out this film. This is what I believe. And they'll lay it out there. So
neat. I'd like to do that. I'd like to nominate somebody.
Who would
Shepherd somebody?
Would you nominate Marshawn? Or
You know who I'll do, because I get a lot of pushback on the two guys who, when I say their names, people I seem to get the biggest response to saying, "How dare you suggest that?" One is Eli, and whether you like it or not, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
He's
so
going.
We can stop that
Deal
conversation.
With it. Bust and is yet, being made.
People don't. I mean, it is done. You know, and Phil Rivers is more in jeopardy than Eli is. But I know ESPN just talked to some of their experts, and they said, oh, Phil's closer than Eli is. Whatever. Eli's going to the Hall of Fame.
They're both going.
As I always say, and I'm going to say it again to you now, David Carr, so long as each season ends with a playoffs that is punctuated by handing one trophy, just the one trophy, only one team gets it.
Correct.
So long as that is the premise of an entire season, and that's what you do it all for, is to see who wins the Lombardi. So long as that is the end of the season,
yeah,
it does matter who wins it. I love when these people act like it's
absolutely
it's,
matters.
And it's not egalitarian. It's like, well, then what? There was so and so. People cite skill position guys or whatever. Don't be dumb. Please stop being obtuse with your argument. It is, we all know it's the most important position in sports.
Well, it's the position that is, if you don't have one of those and you don't have Dan Marino type numbers, it's tough, right? But Phillip Rivers has Dan Marino type numbers, right?
Well, I know people say you got to grade it on a curve because 21st century throws the ball a lot more. But no matter what, Eli Manning and Phil Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger are all going to finish. Which is a remarkable
Pretty
thing,
solid
no matter
class.
I mean, no matter what, yo, that's 21st century. All right, but the guys who were drafted in 2003 and 2005 aren't all in the top 10.
I'm not in the top 10, right? There's
those
a lot
guys
of
are
going
to retire, all of them in the top 10 in yards and in touchdown
passes.
It's
impressive.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, and people, I don't know why. I don't get that Eli. And I try not to be, because I'm biased towards Eli. So I'm like, okay. And I've been in the meeting room with him. I understand what he means to that football team, you know, but man, the guy is just, he's the smartest player I've ever been around. He's absolutely flatline when it comes to
the smartest football player you've ever been around.
Ever.
Wow.
Challenge will just – I mean, you think you know offense, you think you know the game, and you're sitting there with him, and he'll come up with something that he sees on the same film you're watching, and you just – I didn't even see it.
Boy, I'd love to experience that and see what that literally means.
Yeah, no,
I'd like to watch plays with you and say, Eli once saw this, and
I always thought it would be really cool.
I'd love to do that.
OTAs, it's not going to matter. You're running base stuff. Everybody runs the same stuff. So just let a camera crew in there to be in a quarterback room, because a quarterback room with a quarterback coach kind of running the clicker and both, you know, there's usually two veteran guys in there kind of talking. Man, it's fun, man. It's good stuff. It's some of my favorite times.
I legitimately think that the average football fan is much more interested in that sort of thing, has much more appetite for that sort of thing.
Sure.
And I think there's also a fair amount of pretension that people think they completely understand it. But ultimately, it's football. It's just football. It is.
No, you're right, because it is football, and it can be very simple. And we make it too hard, right, sometimes.
I agree.
And offensive coordinators make it way too hard. They spend way too many hours doing it. It's very easy because it's so funny, and I'm going to get off on a tangent, but we spend hours and days putting together these game plans that are like thick, and then we get halfway through the first quarter and the team's up 7-0 and it's panic mode and we're going to run 7 plays the rest of the game and we're going to find a way to come back. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened where we've run those 7 plays that are just our bread and butter and we come back and win the game. And you're like, Coach, what did we do all this other nonsense for? Just go with what we do right and then and let's go.
You only need that if you are significantly have significantly lesser talent than the guys across
exactly.
from you, right?
Yeah,
if you can just
exactly
impose what you want to do.
Sure. Yeah, if you got to create offense for your guys that aren't as good, then that's fine. You 30-40% of it is just smoke and mirrors and stuff. But if you have guys that are legitimately good football players, you're a good team, you get down, you can go to your 5 plays and run those there. You can tell Drew Brees we're going to run 10 plays the rest of the game, and he's fine. We're going to go score 40 points. So
how much, now that we're talking about this, you promised a tangent, and I'm along with you on it.
Yeah.
How often, because you always hear playground, that's what Ben Roethlisberger does best.
Yeah.
He turns it into a playground
yeah.
game. How often during a game do you say, well, at any point in the game, but I would assume it happens in the second half or whatever, that you would pull a receiver aside, say like, hey, I'm going to pump it to you, and then pretend like you're going to catch, but then go long, like, you know, backyard football.
Yeah, yeah.
A more it elaborate happens. Version of that. Like, screw the whole playbook. Here's what I want you to
do. No.
You
it's
pretend
all-
this and then do that.
Well, that's what game planning is. That's what adapting is. And you always have to have a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator there with you. Otherwise, unless you're Ben Roethlisberger, you're going to be looking for a job if it doesn't work out, because they're going to absolutely lose their mind on you. So you make sure the quarterback coach is there, and you hey, come on over here. You grab Antonio Brown and say, Antonio, okay, next time we run this play. So you got to have a group. The other 9 guys, you got to give them something to do, right? You can't just say, all right, we're going to snap it. I'm going to run around like crazy, man. And then Antonio's just going to find a way to get up. You can't do that. You got to call a play, and then off of that, you can do something that's looked like what you've been doing all game, and then now you hit him with the double move or you do something off of it. So that happens all the time. You have to do that stuff.
The thing to me is, and it seems – well, listen, we'll talk Damashek car game theory at another point. But it really does seem to me that if you can move at all like your brother, like you could, and the better QBs, it seems, Russell, Rodgers, mm-hmm. Roethlisberger can do some of this. The outside of Brady, that boot – you know, that ability to boost and then
yeah.
roll, as
yeah.
long as you have a viable option behind you to scare the defense a little bit,
yeah.
to at least put it into his gut
yeah,
or fake it into his gut.
Part of the run.
I mean, that seems to me like that is that is endlessly just about unstoppable.
I've been around coordinators, and Gary Kubiak was one of these guys that refused to play action from the pocket. Like, he wanted the bootleg. He said there's the only way you're going to get big plays in the NFL is off good run action and then boot action away from that with the quarterback
right?
to buy time for big plays down the field. And, I mean, they had some pretty good offenses when Gary was calling the plays. So, I mean, I'm with you. I love that play. The only problem is you have to make sure that defensive end, and that's why you get the RPO that we hear a lot of, the run-pass option, mm-hmm. because before it used to be with Gary Kubiak, not to just tell the story forever, but this is where it originated. So you go, you run the stretch, now you run the bootleg off of it, and the defensive end, you're expecting him to crash down
right.
and chase the run and come out the other side. Now it's kind of adapted to where – instead of putting the quarterback under the center and now just hoping that defensive end crashes because we're calling the bootleg, right? And sometimes he's up the field and he hits the quarterback and you got to make a play. Now we're going to put him in shotgun and I'm going to get the snap and I'm going to watch you. And then I'm going to see what you do. So I'm going to hand it off. And if you crash down, then I'll keep it. So I'm going to call both plays at the same time. And it's kind of evolved into that to where that's what people do more often than not. But the bootleg is still, I mean, it's an all or nothing thing because you're turning your back to the best player on the defense, a defensive end who could be a Von Miller, he could be anybody. And it's always like,
I think Jadeveon Clowney made a play of some.
Like every time you turn around, you're like, is he going to be right here? You never know. You turn your back completely on the guy and you come around and it's like, well, oh, I'm out here. I'm good. Let's go.
You made me think of that when you said that we got to tell the other 9 guys. I think when you run the boot, if you're going to naked boot, you want them to not know.
The other thing. So Peyton Manning, you told me one time, and we kind of carried this over, and obviously Eli
name
didn't
drop.
Too. Well, I've got to give him credit because
no,
I can't
know.
Say that. You know,
okay,
you know,
okay.
I can't say
all right, it's cool.
Up.
Go ahead.
So what you do is you do call the run. You call a run to the right, especially down inside tight 5-yard line inside. You've seen Peyton. Peyton ran for like 60 yards on mm-hmm. one of these once, and he would just keep it. He wouldn't tell anybody. He wouldn't tell the coach. He wouldn't tell not one person, just going off his intuition and his studying. And he'd come out there and fake it and then just kind of chill for a little bit, and then he'd be off to the races because everybody, you're going to get a full sell because a lot of times when you call a bootleg, the offensive line's like, okay, it's kind of a bootleg. I'm not going to really run as hard. So to the defense, something could say, this isn't really that run. You know, but if you just call the run, you don't tell anybody else, that's what it's going to look like to everybody.
Well, y'all, yes, people are not as good an actor.
They aren't.
Good at acting as they
terrible.
Think they are.
They're terrible actors. And
the best thing of all is to say, now, if I took a camera out now and say, do the exact same thing, but just do it exactly like you just did
No.
The inability to replicate what you just said with a camera pointed at you.
No,
it's the same. It's analogous, really.
And linemen are worse. Like, at least I'd have a chance as a quarterback, but linemen are terrible.
The worst guy in pickup football is the guy who oversells the play I described 5 minutes ago of, like, I'm gonna call your name, and then you turn around for it.
Right.
But then when then turn it upfield.
You're like, Frank, I don't have 15 seconds.
Yeah, stop like that.
Just go.
Hey, David! Like the stop. Like, all right, it's got to just be a little one, you know? Like,
I used to be the guy when we used to play street football when I was growing up in Bakersfield.
Who was the best?
Didn't have a lot of grass in the street.
Street
in the
football.
Street, like in the street, and I was
roiling streets of Baker.
But I was the worst because you get street football, you're just playing. It's just street football. It's what you call it. And I would get out there, and I'd try and make audibles. I'd have like a list of players. I'd come out with wristbands. I'm like, you got to wear this wristband. My friends are like, what are you doing, dude? Like, just play football. I was that guy. I ruined
that is a weirdo.
I ruined it. I was a nerd.
Did you dominate, though?
Dominate.
And did
why,
you?
That's why I thought my theory and my whole preparation was right, because I was like, these kids just line up. But Frank, like Paul and these guys, they don't know what they're doing. Like, we got plays.
Any of your peers growing up, you're back there, you're 12 years old playing backyard football, like, hey, Dave, take it easy with the pass,
all
man.
The
it's a little too much. Did they really?
Oh, yeah, because the street's not that wide. I mean, you know, street can be compared.
But, I mean, it was just – was that the buzz among your friends? Like, hey, David is so good at throwing, I bet you he makes it to college football.
I had a friend that we used to wear – you know the things you grab oven mitts, right? You grab they would bring those out.
Really?
Well, yeah, because he was a bigger kid, you know, and he wasn't the best athlete, and he would oven mitt it, but he would never use his hands, like it would only in the body. And I'm like, what do you even have the oven mitts for? Like,
David Carr threw such heaters that his friends needed literal oven mitts to handle the heat.
I got a great picture of my dad. My dad used to catch balls for me all the time. Like, he was my dad's the best, right? I know everybody thinks their dad's the best. My dad was the best. He wore full-on catcher's gear and then the big goalie gloves in soccer mm-hmm. to come catch for me. We got a great picture right before I went to the NFL.
Ah, that's great.
Still catching for me.
That's one of my favorite things, and I'm almost always underwhelmed by talking to pro athletes about how – I mean, whoever tackled you in high school. I mean, LeGarrette Blount. Whoever tackled LeGarrette Blount once he got the ball
some
in
of those,
high school?
Yeah, game. Some of those highlights for like guys like LeGarrette Blount, and I saw Reggie Bush in high school, and I don't think that he ever got tackled in high school. Alex Smith was his quarterback. And I would, it would just be a draw, and he would just, and then that was it. So I mean, I've seen it where guys have, you know, 100 touchdowns, and like I'm like, I don't need. That's every time you touch the ball.
I'll tell you. So now let's revert back to where we were 9 minutes ago. The other name of a Hall of Famer that people do not think is a Hall of Famer, but they're wrong, is Cam Newton. Cam Newton is in the news. Calvin Benjamin made his remarks. He doesn't study hard enough. I think people don't love to embrace a guy. If the MO on him is, and this is some evidence at least, they don't like, because all you ever hear throughout your life is, as or pointed at as role models for sports at just minimum, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, what do they have in common? No one believed in those guys. They outworked everybody to get to where they are. They are the reason that they are all-time greats is because they outworked everybody else.
Right.
Cam Newton, the vibe is that he doesn't work as hard.
Well,
but
you know, it's also, now that, I mean, we're in Los Angeles, it's LeBron James is the same issue. It's LeBron and Cam, I think, for me, it's in the same boat because of public opinion, because people don't feel like they've had to work as hard to get to where they are, because they've always just been the best player at all levels. They're better than everybody else physically, and I can see why people feel that way, because they are. Cam Newton's one of one. Like, there's never been a quarterback mm-hmm. like him. I don't foresee one being around while we're able to watch football. He's just bigger than everybody. He's bigger than defensive linemen. He's got a stronger arm than most all the quarterbacks.
Does he really?
He does. The guy has an absolute rocket. And, you know, and when he won the MVP a couple years ago, down the field throwing the football, he was as good as anybody I've ever seen in a season. Accuracy with Ted Ginn and some of the balls he was throwing to Olsen. I mean, it's tremendous. Now, the only problem is, you know, what Benjamin said, I mean, there's some truth to that. Otherwise, he wouldn't say it. Like, you wouldn't just say something like that unless there was some truth to it. So that's where the issue is going to be. It's like, people are going to say, well, he was so talented, but he didn't really put in as much effort, and then that's why they didn't win. right? So,
I mean,
is that fair? I don't know.
I get all of that, and that maybe applies to Jay Cutler as you look back on his career. Cam Newton has won an MVP, 15-1, great rookie season, almost always in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yes, I can attribute it to Kuechly, Thomas Davis, and a great defense, but, you know, look at the pass catchers, look at the ball carriers.
I agree with you. I think that's also a lot of it's on his coaching staff, honestly. If I'm being honest, I mean, he does a lot in the run game, but they could be even better as far as what he has such great ability. He can be your best running back, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You got to utilize that. I mean, if it shortens his career by a couple of years, that's fine. At least we got 10 years of fantastic Cam Newton.
Better all-time QB class. 2004.
Okay.
I mean, this sounds – I'm going to sound like a heretic to some people.
It's going to sound crazy, actually. I already know where you're going with this.
All right, that's fine. You're welcome to your opinion. Eddie Spaghetti, you can chime in too because you're also an Eli advocate.
I'm not saying you're crazy.
Okay, here we go.
Good.
You know who they are. Yeah. Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli.
Yep.
Or I'm going to say it. Elway, Marino, Kelly.
Wow, you did.
I said it.
I thought that you might say it, but I wasn't really sure that you'd say
Marino,
it.
Marino, Elway, Kelly. I am going to count the Lombardis here. You have two in the twilight of Elway's career, which are owed to Terrell Davis, not to John Elway.
Yeah. How much of it do you think is, I love Eli. He's my good friend. Love the guy. How much of it is that I grew up watching those other guys, and I can't even say that Eli and those guys are.
As much as the curmudgeons, as much as old school fans say, recency bias, you millennials, you don't get it. You don't think anything existed before you existed and all that. We also tend to lionize the guys that played. What is eye opening?
I don't think Dan Marino ever threw an incomplete pass. Like, I really believe that.
That's the phenomenon.
You know what I'm saying?
I became aware of this many moons ago. I dug up Super Bowl 13. And one of the great games ever played. I don't know if I think there might be the most Hall of Famers ever out on a field at one time. I'm not positive about that, but certainly it would be count on one hand any games that had more Hall of Famers in it than that one. It's the mighty Steelers against the mighty Cowboys, both at the height of their powers, you know, 1978, January of 79. And I remember watching early on in the game, they run a sweep with Tony Dorsett. Tony Dorsett, in his second year in the league, big star. Roger Staubach hands the ball off to him. Here comes TD around the end. And Jack Lambert and Mean Joe Green and Jack Ham bearing down on him. And TD's feet kind of go out from under him, and he slips, and it's a yard and a half. And Mean Joe and Jack Lambert meet at TD laying on the ground, and they touch him down. That's the end of the play. It's the most mundane play you could ever see, except it's in the Super Bowl, and everybody who was anywhere near the ball were Hall of Famers.
All busts just chasing each other around.
That's exactly what it was.
Great.
But Elway deserves more praise for getting three bum Broncos rosters two Super Bowls than what happened to him once he got there.
I agree. I mean, more than, exactly. Like you said, he's later in his career. I don't think he did as much. He wasn't asked to do as much. Terrell Davis did everything. I mean, you know, not everything, but you know, he made a helicopter run. He made some plays, right?
The helicopter is the most overrated.
Oh,
the second Super Bowl, Elway was better that year than he was that.
It was an old man falling down. That's pretty much what it was.
I'm with you completely. The most overrated play in Super Bowl history. That's the thing?
That's where he's at. To me, it said that's the end of his career because you just watch him and you're like, it's pretty much over. I mean, everybody was like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. I'm like, it's John. I love John. John Elway's rookie card. I love the guy. But no.
Can I tell you something about that?
Yeah.
I have watched Super Bowl 32 with Terrell Davis, and he had never watched it before, which is insane to me.
What
kind of human being, if you're the MVP of a Super Bowl, doesn't go back and watch it?
With your kids. Just watch the game with the kids.
Seven times a day you watch
it. Just keep it on repeat.
Just as a reminder to everybody. Yeah, that's an interesting point you
make. Right here.
Let me refer you to when I won the MVP in the Super Bowl. That's all I would ever do.
No doubt.
Anyway, so – go ahead now. 83.
Yeah.
Marino, Kelly.
Oh, man. I mean, they played.
I don't think it's a ridiculous conversation anymore.
It's not ridiculous. I still have to go with the older guys.
Okay.
Just because I know how hard it was to throw the football back then, and they still made it look pretty easy.
Spaghetti. 84, different. By the way, his Marino's second year is the best quarterback season
I've ever
seen.
Man, it was just crazy.
Never seen anything
like
that
years
before.
Old, but it was
the only one that I would compare it to in terms of just consistent quality throughout is Rodgers. What was that? 2014?
Can't forget about what Peyton did for a little while. I unfortunately had to watch him do it in the AFC South for several years, but he was, I mean, my goodness, the guy was incredible.
Huh. All right.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Pop on some tapes. The guy was up 21-0 before we even
that was
warmed
crazy
up.
Stuff. Yes, you know? Spaghetti.
I'm going Marino, Elway. I think those guys, they have a claim to be in the Mount Rushmore of greatest quarterbacks ever.
Yeah.
So it's easily them.
In the Super Bowl era, yeah. Jim Kelly gets slept on a little bit. If he doesn't go to the Houston Gamblers, though, which he loved that time.
If you just find a way to win two of those games in the Super Bowl, I mean, just one or two, you know? That's all you got to do.
Scott Norwood makes a kick. We regard not just Kelly, not just the Bills, but also the Dallas Cowboys dynasty differently.
Right.
If they had vanquished the Bills, who would be perceived as a different level of juggernaut,
I mean,
if they had beaten that team in back-to-back Super Bowls, let's say it all plays out the same, we would think of the Cowboys, that dynasty would be the greatest in NFL history.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But the point I was going to tell you is, which I think is funny, is Terrell Davis. I attempted to mock the Elway helicopter. I'm like, this is your signature moment of your career. And Elway gets all the credit for that. He's like, oh, that was the best thing. Oh, we all got it. So excited.
Oh, see, that's what happened. Especially when guys that you don't expect it, quarterbacks run, like guys get so fired up about that. I mean, I used to run for like 5-yard gains. My line would be so excited. I'm like, what, you guys just think that I can't even run? Like, yeah, I literally can't.
It's patronizing.
Yeah, it is. I don't like
it. It's like when my teammates in high school basketball would come to the sideline when there was like a minute and a half left, and they would say, like, put in Shaq, and then the small student body would agree and they would say, put in Shaq, and I was so flattered. I was like, oh, that's so great. I'm so, for such an unpopular schnook, isn't that nice? And only later did I realize they were mocking.
You knew what they were doing.
They wanted to laugh at me, not with me.
Yeah, no, they just wanted to see you trot out there in your loosely fitting basketball jersey.
That's enough. We've
just saying. Figure this.
You know what would happen to me though, David Carr? I would sit on the sidelines like this with my. I'd sit throughout the game with my elbows atop my knees. Uh-huh. You know, just kind of relaxing to watch the game.
Yeah.
And I would sit that way the entire game. And so when I would rare occasion I would go into the game, I'd get up and there'd be these two red circles above my knees. The red circles of shame. Hey, Eddie Spaghetti is running up to see Pearl Jam this week.
Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, that's right.
Good luck telling me the lyrics to Yellow Ledbetter because I have no idea.
Changes every time he sings it.
Is that true, Spaghetti?
Yeah, it
is very true.
I'm just out of curiosity. I don't know what David Carr fancies as great music.
Man, I like anything that's, you know, it's art, man. So anything that's legit, sounds good, look like people have taken, you know, actually care about what they're doing, I mean, that's good stuff for me. I appreciate all music.
All music?
I can.
Trance?
No.
See, people play fast and loose with that one. People love to. Oh, I like all kinds of music. I don't think you like all kinds.
I don't know if I've ever heard trance music play. If you can play some for me, I can tell you if it was any good.
Maybe. You like when the monks when they do their chanting stuff.
Sometimes, like in Lord of the Rings, when they're all getting around and they start doing the little weird chant thing. I mean, that's kind of cool. Some unity there, you know?
What did you think? We just had Lindsay Rhodes in on our most recent episode. I encourage you, Nate Demand, you go back and listen to it because she really opened my eyes. I had been, along with Marty Bennett, disparaging Frozen as a bad message for little girls.
Okay.
But she turned me around on that. Even if you have bad parents, you have to overcome that. And you can find true love in your sibling.
You're going to have
sister.
A parent explain that to you.
You don't need a man. Right, is the message in that one. What's the most popular animated picture in your home?
You know what? Lion King's probably.
Lion King's
Yeah, because even my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter now, she loves it. Like, my boys used to watch it all the time, and I obviously everybody likes Lion King, but it's sad a little bit too. Like, dad dies, and then
they're none of them aren't sad.
I know they really are, but she likes it. So, I mean, I'd probably say that would be the one that plays the most in our house.
All right, what do we want to do here? You know what? Wrap it up there, Eddie Spaghetti? Oh, look how Eddie Spaghetti wants to get to something that we've already recorded a little while ago Spaghetti and Martin Weiss and Wall of Famer Jeff Schwartz. You know what? We need a theme song for you. That's why I ask you about music.
Oh, okay.
What would you like? Something country?
Yeah, country's fine from Bakersfield. I mean,
Buck Owens.
Yeah, Buck Owens.
Buck Owens.
Crystal Palace is right by my house.
We'll try to do that. Yeah. And then also, we might want to consider even adding David Carr's jersey to the Wall of Fame.
Should have been up already.
I agree, but Maurice Jones-Drew has been he's been a little bit prickly about it. He really is.
There's room right there next to James Jones. He's fit me right in there.
I don't know, Sheck. It's not so special as it once was. I don't know if I even want to be up there anymore.
Oh, I want his name removed.
I mean, it's not his choice. He doesn't get to tell me
who's ever said I want my name removed from the Wall of Fame.
It was a little bit hurtful.
I would I would take that as a slight.
It was a little, yeah, it was a little bit spiceful. You know what? It wasn't Maurice's best. It wasn't his best moment.
Take him
a little
down.
Small on his part. Take, wow. If I can tell you the truth.
Small and wide.
Oh.
I didn't say it.
Somebody did.
Somebody said it.
Well, some ghost or somebody said something. That's it. Wrap it up here, Spaghetti. All right, we're going to wrap it up. All right. The problem is, David Carr, I could go on and on.
Oh, I'll be back. I'll come back. I love all this place.
Excellent. The great David Carr, everybody. Make sure you check him out on Total Access and beyond there. You're going to be on Monday nights and Thursday nights in season?
Yes, I believe so.
On Total Access?
Yep.
Delightful fella, you know, to listen, chop it up as you just experienced here. And now, speaking of chopping things up, let's talk about food, shall we, with experts on eating food, namely me, Jeff Schwartz, and Eddie Spaghetti and his pal Martin Weiss. All right, here's a special edition of the Food Block, and I don't even know what show this is going to land in, but while we have Jeff Schwartz here, let's dip into it now, our latest edition of all the most important debatable subjects where food's concerned. Eddie Spaghetti, take it away here.
Last night we were doing show prep, myself and Emma, and she said that Brett Sauron, her fiancé,
he doesn't need a name, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah, what an awkward laugh.
No, it was a joke. It's not his name. It's her last name. It was the worst ice cream flavor, right? Because they invented a new ice cream.
Oh, mayonnaise.
This is fun.
They invented a mayonnaise ice cream, and I personally would probably try that because I am not against mayonnaise.
Oh, you're disgusting.
But
I don't know you very well, but
alien behavior.
Conspiracy.
Alien behavior.
Good point.
Thank you.
Touche.
But what would be your like least?
Let's go and yeah. Don't get. We don't need to talk about these wackadoo flavors that they've tried to conjure lately.
Yeah.
Let's go with the classic flavors.
What's your least favorite?
Like how many does Baskin Robbins throw out 30, there? Like 32, 31?
31, 32, something like that.
How many flavors is it?
31.
Shouldn't we know 31 flavors?
31 flavors.
No,
32. So my 32. My least favorite would be anything peanut butter related.
Wow.
I don't like peanut butter.
I hear you. Although, you know what, though? I've come back around to it. If you go, turns out the people who have enjoyed s'mores all those years are onto something there. There's something about if you slap a little bit of, you don't have to, forget the marshmallow, and instead go with a piece of dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Then put underneath it the binding agent of peanut butter and put that on a graham cracker. Delicious.
So peanut butter would be mine. Okay. Also, I like chocolate, but like not a dark chocolate person.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I like the dark.
My dad's that way too. Like I'm not, so like, I don't want like a super rich chocolatey ice cream.
Oh, forget the milk. And in fact, you know how that now when you get the bars at the store, they, you know, they get 72% cacao.
Yeah.
Not enough for me.
You want like the 90.
Turn it up.
Pure uncut.
Give me that pure dark, you know?
So what's your least favorite? Vanilla, then.
I'm going to have to think about it a little bit here.
I'll go coffee.
Martin Weiss.
Good.
Coffee. I despise coffee flavor or anything.
I didn't have until I was 29 years old. I'd never tasted a pistachio, and then I did, and I fell in love. And then soon after, I tried pistachio ice cream. Mm. Also delicious.
Oh, no.
It's very good.
I thought we were doing worse flavors.
I'm just talking.
I was bouncing around in my head with pistachio.
Mint and coffee.
Oh, mint's not bad.
Big fan of mint. Big fan of peanut butter. Coffee flavored coffee isn't good.
Right.
But, like, I'm not a big fan of really.
It's too.
That's fine. If he doesn't like coffee, he doesn't like coffee. That makes sense.
I like.
You enjoy the taste of coffee.
I like espresso and coffee.
I do, too.
But it needs a little.
You also, I think you get to a certain age where, like, you have to drink coffee. Like, there's no choice.
See, that's one of those things.
You're too young. It's okay.
I mean, I'm 28. I work very early in the mornings.
That's why I started drinking, or morning radio.
I thought about 30 minutes ago to myself, like, I need a coffee when I leave the studio. I literally thought
But do you enjoy it, though?
Yeah.
That's some sort of an indictment of the quality of conversation.
No, I got something. Oh. I got things to do today.
I gotta
drive and I need a coffee.
All right, the first things first, I don't want to just be a hater on ice cream flavors. The best ice cream flavor has always been mint chip. And mint chip is the best flavor. Do you ever get a nice mint chip shake?
People, I've never heard
that. Listen, most places will put that together for you. Now, I do have to give this caveat. you're going to find, as the blender cannot knock out the chips that make it fine enough,
yeah.
You're going to get some clogging in your straw. It's worth it.
Secretly.
I love Dippin' Dots, too. That's my favorite type of ice cream.
Now you're getting ridiculous.
Mint flavored. My like Oreos has – they've been kind of going off the rails with these flavor choices, but I had 2 mint Oreos this morning. And I'll tell you what.
Big fan of cookie dough, A-okay. Too. Cookie dough
cookie
ice cream.
Dough, you know, that
with
I would
the, with consider, the chunks of dough.
I would consider that more newfangled flavor. You know, not getting completely ridiculous.
I like the cake batter.
Like the cake batter, yeah. I like good stuff. When they have the actual chunks of like
cookie dough, yeah.
of but chocolate chip cookies. Because some make it with like brownies in there. No, I don't know why. I like a brownie and I like an ice cream, but I don't like brownie chunks in my
I think I'm out on crunch in ice cream. So if there's a nut involved, like any type of crunch.
Can I go into for my answer? Can I go into the worlds of sherbets?
Absolutely.
Are we going to allow that?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Okay.
It's your show.
Then I'm going to go with lime sherbet. That's I don't understand these
How
people.
Do you say it?
I like lime.
I'm saying it the correct way.
I like lime as well.
Look at that. I'm so excited. This is great. I love when I get to tell people something that they didn't previously know. People always – it's one of the most mispronounced words in the English language. It is not sherbet like most people say.
Yes.
It is sherbet. There is no second R, even though most people think there is. It's sherbet.
I wish I could Google
that. What is it?
It's
like a cream ice? Like what's a sherbet? I don't even know what's like what
it's like
it's
like you've had sherbet non-dairy ice cream.
You've never had orange sherbet.
I definitely have. At an ice shop.
Okay. Well there you go.
Like I'm looking this up right now how to pronounce sherbet because I don't believe you.
I'm telling you the truth. MVP, you're a wordsmith. Am I correct or am I correct?
I think you're correct. I actually was just looking up the difference between sorbet and sherbet.
That's what confuses me.
And apparently the difference is sorbet contains no
Wait,
exactly.
Say it again.
Sherbet.
I love a good cream ice.
Sherbet.
That looks about right.
I think you're right.
I know I'm right. Would I bring that up out of the blue and then be wrong about it?
Yes.
I would, but not in this case. Yeah, I don't like, again, back to the thing with, I don't like... the lime. I don't understand people who like lime-flavored jazz. I also don't appreciate people when you are at a restaurant and they have like 5 different kinds of dessert available to you, like a flourless chocolate cake or, some leche or whatever. That lemon. You're going to go with a lemon bar? Lemon anything?
What did people do 10 years ago when you had flour in desserts?
Yeah, I know. It's a better day. Well, I've celebrated this before, and I'll celebrate it again now. Surely you appreciate this, Schwartz, is we live in a time, and man's recorded history has seen a lot of progress, but we are here for the time in the last, like, 10 years or so that somebody was like, you know what we would make this dessert taste better? Some salt. Now they're putting that sweet and salt, mixing them together. It's heaven.
A fry into In-N-Out shake into your mouth.
That's so good.
Glorious.
Yeah. You know what? I like to eat something sweet. Then, to top it all off, popcorn, then good night. Then I say my good nights. Then I go to bed with a full belly.
You do popcorn
and a smile on my face.
I've done it every day this week.
I love
popcorn and night's great.
It's great. Nice. You go sweet to salty or vice versa, and then off to bed. That's how you punctuate a successful day on the Big Blue Marble as we walk among the aliens.
Well, last night, I woke up in the middle of the night and got the last piece of Detroit-style pizza out the fridge, put it down, and went back to bed.
Wait, so you were dead asleep. You woke up and was like, I need to eat more pizza. Went downstairs at 8, and then
– got to support the local industry.
I got to
eat the Detroit
really
pie.
Early.
Power move.
Frozen pizza.
Detroit-style pizza.
I didn't have much of a choice.
Before we wrap it up,
yes.
Before we get out of here, one last thing for Martin, since he's from Michigan, keeps his eye at least on the Lions. He's not a Lions fan per se, but I think that's your dark horse team in the NFC this year.
Well, the Bears are better. I agree with you. They're a year away. The Packers have Rodgers back. I mean, they're going to be tough to beat. The Vikings obviously upgraded with Cousins at quarterback. Stafford is I think perpetually underrated as a quarterback. He's going to be very interesting because he's going to have a lot of passing records when he retires. His Hall of Fame case is going to be very interesting because he's second quarterback under 30 was under 30 to throw for 30,000 yards.
Look at Martin Weiss.
He's never won a playoff game.
I'm just telling you, buddy. Like he's going to be the first quarterback of this passing era to really be his numbers examined closely because he's going to have all the passing numbers to qualify to be a Hall of Fame career. So it's going to be interesting to see how do we look at the numbers versus the wins.
I do agree that, listen, human beings are the people who vote. Maybe there's some aliens voting. I don't know anymore how it works. But
T.O. was not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
You have 15 years to get in.
No, I'm just saying. Right. No, he was talking to the point about aliens voting. Maybe there are.
No, human beings, whether they want to admit it or not, these curmudgeonly football writers, who, they, like other human beings, do respond to seeing a guy in a moment of glory come through. If Matt Stafford has some special January run and puts one nice season, one really magical postseason together, he is going to appear to be a Hall of Famer because it's the Lynn Swann theory. Lynn Swann by number is not a Hall of Famer, but the voters, just like other human beings, saw him making acrobatic game-changing catches in the biggest games, and that was like, oh, he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. One of the best we've ever seen.
It's Eli, too.
Right. He's another guy going to the Hall of Fame.
Maybe he has two rings. A little different. I mean, if Rivers gets in, then Stafford should.
Well, Rivers gets in Eli's. I mean, it's not cool.
Matt Stafford's never beat a team that finished over 500.
Well, it's the same thing as Rivers.
Never?
That's not true.
He beat the Packers 3 years ago.
When?
Your contention is that Matt Stafford in 10 years has never beaten a team with a winning record.
I know it was true when I left Detroit 2 years ago. That as of two seasons ago, Matt Stafford had a losing record record over teams over 500. That's what I meant to say. Not never beaten. I had a losing record over teams over 500.
That makes a little more sense. I was going to say never got even lucky in one game.
Yeah. That's my bad.
All right. Very good stuff. Weird stuff, too. I think we can all agree on that. Great stuff, Martin Weiss. A pleasure to see you. As always, Eddie Spaghetti, Dynamite stuff. Make sure you're following Spaghetti's. Let's give the Twitter handles out.
_ Martin Weiss.
I don't like the underscore.
Me neither. It's the herpes of the internet.
Spaghetti.
Edward L. Murphy.
You got to change that, man.
I tried.
Just become Spaghetti.
I've tried.
Spaghetti? That'll catch on. Spaghetti.
Yeah, I know.
And the great Jeff Schwartz, even though he needs no...
Jeff Schwartz with a G.
Right. Jeff Schwartz, no numbers, no nonsense, easy to find. But you do have the fancy man spelling.
I do.
Of Jeff. And great work with Chad Millman's deal over there.
Yes.
Action Network.
Yes.
Doing great work. And pretty much all over the place, on all media platforms, Jeff Schwartz is on it.
Very busy.
Mazel tov. Happy Thank for you. Enjoy the Chiefs season, healthy and successful season to brother Mitchell, and don't be a stranger. Let's talk to you in season, too, Jeff.
Good.
So you did the music a little too early, though, Emma, and I wasn't ready for it. I didn't know it was going to come in, and then I was chasing my tail the whole time.
You didn't know it was going to come in? You were rapping?
I knew it was going to come in, but I didn't expect it happened just a little bit sooner than I expected. Also, like I say, be on the lookout for the broadcast. Make sure you're looking out for Daves of Thunder, available on Apple Podcasts. I'm on with Adam Carolla on Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show. We'll be back with the new Daves of Thunder next week. Our Daves of – I screwed that up, so now you got to do it again. I'm sorry. Darn it. Darn, darny, said, darn, darn.
You said – you know what that stands for, right?
No.
That's what she said?
No, I don't know what I said.
Oh.
I caught it.
You caught it?
I said something bad?
No, it wasn't bad. You said.
His timing worked out very well with that. I was here.
Speaking of timing, we were not going to be able to get the one more time there, MVP. Now what is it?
Oh, that's what she said. You said something like you came.
Oh, I don't want to see. Clean it up. Get your heads out of the gutter. We have aliens to defeat. They're amongst us right now. What are we going to do? What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go take a long look at the man in the mirror and get an answer for that. Talk to you next week. Media Peak. Since I haven't.